Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, June 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Here it is, a Fun Drive edition, a live birding Vox Pop with Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart back to answer your questions about the birds. Now, I won't give you the number but once. I don't want to screw this up. Our Fun Drive is in progress. Very quickly, I'll give you the Vox Pop number. You can find it on the website. Not going to mention it after this. And the number is 800-348-2551. You can call. Ed Rosen is here to screen those calls. If you missed that number, you can go to the website, WAMC.org, and hit the Vox Pop page, and you'll find the number. Otherwise, email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Rich Guthrie, Julie Hart, birding today, right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to a Fun Drive edition of Vox Pop on WAMC. It's live. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing birds today with Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Rich is retired from the New York State DEC, is now the regional reviewer for the premier birding site eBird. Julie Hart is project coordinator of the New York Breeding Bird Atlas. She has a focus on bird conservation and citizen science. Now, I'm not going to give you the phone number. You may call. If you want to, do it. We would love it. Ed Rosen is here to screen the calls. You know the number. If you don't know the number for this program, it's different than the Fun Drive number. So I would encourage you to go to WAMC.org, click on today's Vox Pop page. Should be right on the front. The phone number's there. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We're raising money for this radio station this week. And if you want to make a pledge, we'd love to get it. 800-323-9262 is the number, and our volunteers are standing by throughout this program, and I'll remind you about that in a little bit. Meanwhile, if you have a birding question, you can look on the website for today's Vox Pop number or email us, as some people have already done, voxpop@wamc.org. Julie Hart, how are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the summer weather, and it's my favorite time of year. It's baby bird season.
Oh, the baby birds. Do baby birds make really high-pitched squealing sometimes?
Yes.
So my hearing is terrible. And so you lose it on the high end.
Yeah.
And we're out back. My wife and I were out back taking the air the other day. And she said, did you hear that high-pitched scream? And I said, nope. And I think it was baby birds in a nest nearby.
Yep. Yeah, it's super high-pitched. It gets a little lower pitched as they get older.
Yeah, just like kids.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So the bird's voice changes around adolescence.
Yeah.
Rich Guthrie is, I don't know where, no one knows where Rich is. Rich is always somewhere. Rich, where are you?
Well, good afternoon, and hi there, Ray and Julie.
Hello.
I'm in the western part of your time zone, still in New York State. So that puts me in Buffalo, New York area.
Oh, my gosh. So that was the great frontier back in the old days, and you're out there now where the buffalo roam, yeah?
Well, the buffalo used to roam, let's say, but the Bills still play.
Ah, that's very clever. Well, Rich, I'm glad you're here. We have a lot to talk about today. And once again, I'm not going to give the phone number for this show, but trust me, if you call, we'll get you in there. Ed Rosen is screening the calls, and I don't want to say the number because we're in a fun drive. This is a first try for us. Yesterday we did it. Today we're doing a live show during Vox, during the fun drive, and I'm loving it, but I don't want to confuse you. We have an important job, and that's raising money for this radio station, and the number for that, you can talk to a volunteer at 800-323-9262. Feel free to get the number any way you want for this show and give us a shout or email voxpop@wamc.org. Now to the business at hand. There has been a sighting of a western grebe. Julie Hart, what can you tell me?
Yeah, it's a rare bird that normally breeds out in the western part of the country.
Yeah.
And it showed up and hung out on Round Lake, just north of Albany, for a few days. And lots of people came to see it because it's so rare. I went and saw it. Yes, it was really far away on the other side of the lake. So it wasn't great looks, but when I used to live out west, I used to see them all the time. So I was like, yep, that is what I recognize it as. Yeah, it's a western grebe.
What does it look like?
Yeah, so they're a little bit smaller than a common loon. They're black and white for the most part. So they're like black on the top half. So on the top of the head, the back of the neck, everything's black, and then white underneath everywhere. Really long, skinny neck and a large pointy bill.
Ah.
And they're the ones, if you've ever seen videos of these birds that look kind of like a loon but not quite, and they are doing their courtship dance and they're running across the water, all standing up out of the water, with just like, yeah, just their feet running across the water and their chests up and their heads up, and that's the Western grebe.
Cool.
Yeah.
And there was only one, right? So there was no
just
courtship
one.
Going on.
No. I think he just overshot or got caught in like some weather system or something, and he didn't mean to come all the way over here. he probably turned around and went back.
That's so interesting. Rich Guthrie, how often does that sort of thing happen? I mean, the western part of the U.S. is pretty far from Round Lake. How often does this happen where a bird gets that far afield?
Well, a bird like the Western grebe, very infrequently. They're often in an area that doesn't even freeze over during the winter, the western coastal areas. But interior western grebes do migrate. And I'd say once every maybe 5 years, one will show up along the eastern part of North America, be it New York or Massachusetts or down in New Jersey. I've seen a few over the years in New York State, and as Julie says, plenty of them out west. They're kind of like a snobby looking bird. They're kind of like they got the nose in the air and they got dapper aristocratic look about them, and they're kind of standoffish. But aside from that, you know, they look like they're tailored for dancing, and that's what they do when they're in love. They're just kind of out there like Fred Astaire and Julie Adams, just kind of dancing on the water.
Fred Astaire and Julie Adams? Who's Julie Adams?
Julie Andrew?
I don't know.
Fred Astaire,
yeah,
and Ginger Rogers, maybe?
Ginger Rogers.
So
that's the pair.
What you're saying is the Western grebe looks like Ginger Rogers, which is interesting. Now, Julie Hart, Rich Guthrie just laid down the gauntlet. You were out west, and I mean, to you, does the Western grebe look snobby? I'll ask you that straight up.
I don't think so.
No, you don't think so?
Okay. They got that air about them.
You know, Rich,
I mean,
you know,
I feel like not as much as like a red-throated loon. Like red-throated loons, like that's part of their like ID features, is that they hold their head up a little bit. But I feel like Western grebes can have their head up or straight or...
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you got an idea here. Maybe we do a show, Birds We Hate, coming up one of these days, right?
No. There's no hate there.
We don't hate any birds.
Well, I don't know. No. You seem to be projecting a lot of nastiness today, Rich.
No. When you compare it to the dumpy little pied-billed grebe, you know, you got to hand it to the Western grebe as having a step above.
They're elegant.
Well, you know, there's another story. And again, this is a live Fun Drive edition of Vox Pop Birding with Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. I encourage you to support this radio station. It's 800-323-9262. Some people figured out the number for this show, and we have some calls coming in, and we'll get to them shortly. One of New York City's most common birds is the black-crowned night heron. And I guess it's a very loud bird. And ornithologists are saying now, this is according to the New York Public News Network, ornithologists are now saying this bird, this nocturnal bird, could disappear from New York City within about 10 years without conservation efforts. Julie, can you tell me anything about that?
Yeah, so night herons belong to the what we call the waders. So that would be things like the great blue heron or the great egret that people might be familiar with. And so they tend to nest in these colonies on the coast.
Okay.
And in New York City, obviously, there's not many places left for them to go.
Right.
So they're nesting on some of these more remote and islands that don't have access to people anymore, right? People aren't allowed to go on those islands anymore because they're so sensitive to disturbance. And so the New York City Bird Alliance has been studying them for decades. and they go out and do a census every year, and they've started noticing that the black crowned night heron populations are dropping.
Well, we'll follow that. Let's grab a call before we head over to Pledge Central. It's a fun drive, folks, and we're closing in on the end. 800-323-9262. Let's go to Peter in West Stockbridge. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Welcome.
My question is about all the songs I hear from the birds in our neighborhood. The same birds making the same songs, and I assume they're actually looking for mates. And, you know, do they end up not having a mate and making the same sound over and over again, or are there equal numbers of males and females and they all get matched up in the end?
All right, that's a great question. Now, we'll go to Julie first. We have about 2 minutes before we go to Pledge Central. So 1 minute to you, Julie, 1 minute to Rich. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, so the birds that are singing, they do it for a couple of reasons. One is to attract a mate, and the other is to defend their territory and tell all the other birds in the neighborhood, here's where I am, you stay over there, I'm over here.
Don't predators know then, okay, the bird's there, I'm going to go for that?
They could, but most don't do it that way.
All right.
Yeah. So most of them are already paired up for the season. If a bird doesn't get a mate, which can happen, in the population's generally 50-50, but if they don't get a mate, then they will keep singing for a long time, and they may just sing all summer just trying to get one. And it may work.
Or
because,
lonely bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Lonely
it can
birds.
Be lonely, but, you know, some birds will fail, other ones will die, they can switch mates, and then, you know, maybe he'll get a chance, or he'll be in good position next year.
Maybe the bird is happily celibate. You never know. Hey, Rich, do you want to take a minute here before we go to Pledge Central?
Sure. And what Julie says is right on target there. And a lot of times these birds are either the other nest mates from the previous years, or quite often they're males that have overrun their migration route and are out of their normal territory. And so they'll just hunker down in what they think is good habitat and sing away and sing and sing and sing. And nothing happens because they're the only one of their kind in the whole neighborhood.
That's
so
sad.
You know, they'll just keep trying. And if luck happens and there happens to be a potential mate in the neighborhood, well, bingo. Happy ending.
Well, bingo. All right, we're going to take a break here. Peter, thank you very much. It's time now to go over to the lovely folks over in the Fun Drive room. I see them. It looks like Lucas Willard is putting headsets on, which can only mean business is about to be done. 800-323-9262 if you want to make a pledge. Gloria in Pittsfield, you're on hold. If you can hang in there for a few moments while they pitch, you know, we'll go right to you next. Meantime, over to Pledge Central. Yeah, I'm not sure they want to be called bird brains, but I see your point. Their brains are heavily attuned to the birds. It's okay. I almost gave the fun drive. I almost gave the Vox Pop number. We have a couple people on hold. The number to make your pledge is 800-323-9262. Julie Hart is here. Rich Guthrie is here. Rich has also been on hold for quite a while. Rich, are you still alive?
Here I am. Okay. I'm still here having a great old time.
All right. Now, here's the deal, Rich. We can't see you because you're on the phone, but we have a couple callers here who have been waiting a while, and I have about 10 emails here, and so we're going to do something of a lightning round. I'll hand it off to you or Julie, and we'll answer the question, and then we'll move on. But first, let's go to Gloria, who's been waiting a very long time in Pittsfield. Hey, Gloria, thanks for waiting.
Hi, great to talk to you. So my question is this: I have about 8 bluebird boxes that I monitor, and a couple weeks ago, I went around, and they're full of wrens and tree swallows and a couple bluebird nests. But then a week later, and this is the same thing that happened last year, I go around and some of the nests have been pulled out, the babies are missing and or the eggs are, and I don't know if it's, could it possibly be crows? I have a lot of crows around. And what would I do about it?
All right, first Julie.
Yeah, so probably not crows because they wouldn't be able to get into the nest. I wonder if it could be either wrens. It could be the wrens. They like to destroy other birds' nests near them.
Yes, they do. Evil.
And then it could also be house sparrows. I don't know if you ever have house sparrow problems. But
yeah, I don't have many, but occasionally I'll see one.
Yeah, I would think those.
Is there anything I can do about that? I put sparrow spookers on. I put, you know, wire wrapped around the nest to kind of make it, you know, they say their vision isn't that good, so it kind of makes them not want to go in there, but that didn't help.
Did you do the vertical, like, fishing line across the opening, the entrance hole?
I have metal wire, like, wrapped around it.
Okay.
Up and down and back and forth in front of it. It makes, like, a square out in front of the box.
Okay, well, then that probably should work to keep the house sparrows out. So it might be the wrens, the house wrens.
Okay. That's vertical fish?
There's nothing to do about their native.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's nothing to do with them.
So you're just hanging vertical pieces of fishing line and that keeps them away?
Yeah, the house sparrows, like, don't see it very well. And then they don't like having that obstruction into the hole.
I did not know that.
But the bluebirds are okay with it, and they'll learn and they'll just go around the hole.
Everybody seems to be fine with it, right? Yeah. So, I have another really quick question.
Okay, Gloria, you waited a long time. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. When I was running this morning, I saw a scarlet tanager, and it was flickering around the woods, making a lot of noise, and the female was there as well. And I heard a couple chipmunks, and at first I thought there was something wrong with the chipmunks. But then I'm wondering, because they were both there, the couple, and he was kind of like following her around. And do you think it's a mating thing, or is it kind of late for that?
I would just expect them to already be on nest at this time of year.
Okay.
I wonder if there was a predator nearby, and they were all kind of just aggravated and upset at
including the chipmunks. Yeah.
The chipmunks would go in
right.
as well.
Their nest would be high in a tree, though, right?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Would their nest be high in a tree?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in the top. It can be in the middle of the tree as well.
Okay.
But it is up a fair bit off the ground.
Maybe there was a fledgling involved or something. Maybe there was a fledgling involved. Okay. Well, it was just really beautiful because they were only a few feet away from me and they were there for quite a while.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gloria, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Now we'll give one to Rich Guthrie. Jerry's in Troy. Jerry, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You're on.
Rich, it's Jerry. It's Jerry from Troy. Anyway, I have this pair of beautiful mourning doves that have built a nest in between my kitchen window and the storm window. So there's a nice little space in between there that they've settled into. So they built this nest in April, like around April 20th. And they were faithfully going back and forth and protecting this nest. And I was thinking there'd be, you know, babies at some point. And then on, I think it was May 11th, they disappeared. They just left, the two of them. Hmm. Never came back. And there was, I checked, I took a picture of the nest and there was no sign even of that there had been an egg in there. So I don't know what they were sitting on for all that time.
Oh, boy.
And then as fate would have it, I was very sad when they left. But as fate would have it, either they or another pair came back. And on May 30th, my son was here and he took a picture and there is an egg. It looked like a single egg. And the bird was next to it, and now they have been roosting back and forth, you know, male and female, mommy and daddy coming back very faithfully and sitting on this nest. So it's just odd. Do you have any thoughts about why they would have completely disappeared and then came back again?
Rich.
I have some thoughts about that. I was listening, and I'm thinking that perhaps one of the pair disappeared, maybe met up with some of unfortunate incident and became a casualty out there. And then the male, still on territory, was cooing away, singing away. And as would happen, a female showed up and they paired up, and she liked the setup the way it was and moved right in.
Ah.
So I'm going to go with just sort of like a rescue female came in to save the day.
Kind of like a sympathy date?
I think that's a lovely story. Except I did not hear in all the time they were gone. I didn't hear the cooing. I heard nothing at all from them. I don't know. Maybe they just went looking for something else, someplace else, and they said, "Hey, Mabel, you know that place wasn't so bad. Let's go back."
Well, that could be another possibility. Exactly. I like your thinking.
Hey, Jerry, thanks for the call. All right, now you ready for the lightning round? We got a ton of emails here. Okay, Julie, you're going to go first. Oh, this one isn't even a question. I'll just put this out there to the universe. Tom in Gardner, Mass. says, "We just received a bird feeder camera. What a hoot. Now all the cardinals and others are taking selfies of themselves." Isn't that funny?
There you go. Nice.
All right, here's one for you, Julie. This is from Chris in Cornwall. "I'm a longtime birder, and for the last few years, I've been submitting my checklist to eBird.
Yay.
Does Cornell use the data submitted by birders to gauge climate-driven changes in migration timing and changes in population numbers?" And that's from Chris in Cornwall.
Yeah, there's... So Cornell uses the data for monitoring population changes. And then there's tons of other researchers that are using the same data to monitor all kinds of different research questions,
right,
including climate change impacts. So, for example, Audubon, it's Audubon. Yeah, it's Audubon who does all of the climate by degrees project. And so they're using a lot of that EBIRD data to look at changes in distributions. Yeah.
All right. This one is for Rich. This is from Janice in Catskill. "For the past couple of weeks, I've heard and seen several large flocks of Canada geese heading north. Is this normal migration for them?" Rich.
Yeah, it's normal, but it's not migration. What it is, it's somewhat of a mystery, and we think what it is unaffiliated, unattached boys and girls, the teenagers, just kind of like roaming around, causing trouble in the neighborhood, and just kind of like aimlessly wandering, and looking to where the future might bring them. So that's a conjecture. There may be other reasons. We don't know, but it's an annual event, and it's kind of fun to watch as these noisy groups go by. Kids, you know how they are.
Yeah, you know kids today. It's Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart birding today in a Fun Drive edition of Vox Pop. And let's see, this one is for you, Julie Hart, from Corrine. "I have a hanging basket of flowers by my front door, and I've been watering it every few days. I always saw a bird fly out when I've watered, so I decided to climb up and peek inside. And there is a bird's nest with four small blue eggs. The mama bird still comes back every day, but are the eggs okay with the watering I've done?" No one likes watery eggs.
And then, no, generally not. It depends on if the water was going into the actual nest on top of the eggs, or if it was just going like around, like just over the rim of the planter and just, you know, getting the soil underneath the nest wet.
Like, but eggs are calcium, right?
They're calcium.
But will the water get through?
No, the water won't get through. It's just a matter, like, it'll get cold. And then they die. So, yeah. So it's a matter of if the adult can keep those eggs viable long enough.
Is there anything Corrine can do?
No, other than making sure if she does water it to make sure she's not getting into the nest.
Okay.
I will say, you know, sometimes birds don't realize that their eggs are no longer viable, and they may sit on those eggs a lot longer than you would expect because they're like not giving up hope yet.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, bird nests, they're in nature. Rain happens, right?
Yes.
So what happens?
But the bird would be on the eggs when it's raining.
Okay.
But if there's something that's like threatening the adult, then the adult's going to leave, and then the eggs are exposed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jenny in East Chatham has a question. Rich, I'll throw this to you. Subject heading, common yellow throat. "Last week, early in the morning and also in the evening, I heard the sound of what I think was a common yellow throat. I did not see the bird, but Merlin identified the sound. It was the witchety, witchety, witchety call. You see, I'm good at this. Mm-hmm. I thought they were uncommon here in East Chatham, and I'm wondering if that's what I heard. Maybe it was just passing through. I do not hear it this week, and that is from Ginny in East Chatham, Richard P. Guthrie. What do you got?
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on the yellowthroat, and they are fairly common throughout our listening area. And the song is just as it says, although I like to translate it as, which is it, which is it, which is it? And the answer is the yellowthroat, of course. So, yes, I'm with you on that, and trust Marilyn on that call.
Okay. Rich, do you have a book of, like, bird humor? Because, I mean, you're so clever. You're like Milton Berle of birds.
Well, that's a very nice compliment. Hi there, Merle.
No, Milton Berle, not Merle. Merle from Argyle. I'm sure he's got a joke of books, too, but he's not calling today. Paul in Rhinebeck says, crow harassment. This is for you, Julie. I understand that crows remember faces. What circumstances would cause them to harass people? Aha.
Yeah.
It's like the Omen. Damien! Damien!
So if they were to see you harassing a crow, then, or harassing them, then they're going to remember you and they will harass you.
Oh,
in the
come
future.
On. Really? Yes. They'll
yes,
come back.
So, really?
So
really.
Crows with vendettas is yes. what you're saying.
Yes. They've done studies out in Washington State and it's like very well documented.
So be nice to the crows.
Be nice to the crows, yes.
Any other birds that smart?
I mean, a lot of them are smarter than we think.
Right. But birds, I mean, crows, I think, are genius
They're
birds.
Very, yeah. very smart. Yeah, very intelligent.
All right, Rich, this one's for you. Subject heading, crossbreeding. Will there ever be a new species of birds? Say, for instance, would a wren breed with a cardinal or a pigeon with a crow? Interesting. Yeah, okay, that one comes from Dr. Moreau. What do you think, Rich?
No.
No.
No?
No. Okay. And a very slight chance, and the mechanics just simply don't work in many, many ways. But in nature, never say never. And so we'll wait for the unexpected to happen. Expect the unexpected, but don't be disappointed.
Would the DNA work? I understand the mechanics might be different, but would the DNA work? I mean, could they
probably not.
Probably not. Yeah.
That is, that's a weird
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there's got to be a certain formula of matching, and okay. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
Although you can put, there are some bizarre artificially induced so-called hybrids.
Right.
They're out there, but no, it's not, okay. not in the wild, not likely.
All right, this is for you, Julie Hart, Bluebird question. This is from Telesport in East Chatham. I just erected a bluebird house on a 6-foot pole in my side yard. Apparently, I've already attracted a bluebird and an invader. A much smaller bird is repeatedly landing on a nearby garden trellis, only to be repeatedly chased by the bluebird. Is that a potential invader of the house? Anything I can do for the benefit of the bluebird?
Definitely is a competitor for the house. There's a number of species that are will take it over. Anything to do? There's a bunch of different strategies out there. They all have different rates of success and merit. So I would just try something, but nothing is really guaranteed.
All right, now I know blue jays are kind of tough, but are bluebirds also tough?
I feel like bluebirds are not. Like if you got a bluebird against a wren or a house sparrow,
yeah,
they're gonna the bluebird's gonna lose.
Okay,
most of the time.
I wonder if these betting markets actually allow you to bet on that now.
Oh, maybe.
Hey, Rich, here's one for you from Christine, who's a fine artist, by the way. I checked her website here on the email. Christine writes, "Carolina wrens, where are they this year? We haven't heard one," and that's from Christine.
They're out there, and Carolina wrens, being that they are, they're at the northern extent of their range for the most part. And a hard winter that we had last year may be a factor involved there. They're sort of like the waves on an incoming tide.
Yeah.
A few will go further, then pull back. A few will go further, a little further, and then pull back a little less. And so that happens periodically. Rest assured, the Carolina wrens are out there, and we will hope that they will recover and rejuvenate their populations, regenerate their populations. So keep listening for the Carolina Wren.
All right, now we have about 1 minute here. Craig in Valencia has a bird whistle ID, and we have to do this. Craig, you're on. Go ahead. Yay. Very quickly.
Hi, I was just curious the name of a bird that makes a simple whistle that's high and low. To me, it always sounded like it's saying CB, but it's like... And that's it, and just keep repeating all the time.
What is it?
We have to do this.
Julie, what do you think?
Buckup Chickadee.
Really?
Yeah, that's their song. Most people are familiar with their call, which says chickadee dee dee dee.
Right. So that's a black cap.
I like to
chickadee.
Go ahead, Rich, very quickly. Chickadee.
I like to think of them saying, "Here's Julie. Here's Julie."
Really?
That's funny.
I'll say that for now. Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, I guess we'll have to leave it there. Craig, thanks a lot for the call. Rich Guthrie, if people want to pester you via email, how do they do that?
No pest at all. It's my name, Richard P. as in Peter, Guthrie, at gmail.com. That's G-U-T-H-R-I-E, at gmail.com.
And Julie Hart, I you know what? I ask you every time. People, you don't want to be pestered, right? Am I right?
Yeah, it's okay. People find me.
How do they find you?
They Google me and they find me.
Do they follow your
song? Somehow. I get emails on one of my three different emails.
When you walk in your house, do the birds say, "Here's Julie, here's Julie"?
They do.
Really?
They're like, "Feed me, feed me."
That's terrifying.
Feed me.
All right, so you gave us your email or you didn't?
I didn't. It's julie.hart, H-A-R-T, at dec.ny.gov.
Well, thank you both for being here on this Fun Drive edition of the show, Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. Now, remember why we are doing this way. That's so you support this radio station. We can't do it without you. 800-323-9262. Volunteers are standing by as we speak. Thanks to Riley Phillips, our engineer. Ed Rosen came in and screened the calls. Mr. Ed, thank you. Zach Malloy's just been standing around, but presumably you did something, right? Yeah, okay. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's clean energy and green energy with Dan DeLurie. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.